Preface. My decision to write this encyclopedia was prompted by several circumstances. The first one was the realization that I was advancing far into the 9th decade of my life, the time when researchers tend to look back and try to review and sum up what they have discovered. I have dedicated 6 of these decades to the research of what I call holotropic states, a large and important subgroup of non-ordinary states of consciousness that have therapeutic, transformative, heuristic, and evolutionary potential. Since this has been a venture into new territories, as yet undiscovered and unrecognized by mainstream psychiatry and psychology, it would be unrealistic to expect that I could present all the information that I have amassed throughout this quest into its final form before now. As I was delving deeper into the new domains of the psyche and was describing my research in a series of books, my understanding was undergoing certain changes. Although the basic facts remained the same, the importance that I was attributing to my various findings was shifting. In the early years of my psychedelic research, I discovered, to my surprise, that we carry in our unconscious psyche a detailed record of all the stages of biological birth. This was a finding that contradicted what I had been taught during my medical studies. Once I became convinced that this was an authentic finding, I put great emphasis on the importance of the birth trauma in a variety of areas, including a new understanding of emotional and psychosomatic disorders, the ritual and spiritual life of humanity, human violence and greed, sexuality, death and dying, and the content of works of art. In retrospect, the acceptance of the extraordinary psychological importance of biological birth was actually not a major intellectual feat. The brain of the newborn is certainly a sufficiently developed organ to carry the memory of hours of potentially life-threatening experience. Research also exists which shows the sensitivity of the fetus when it is still in the womb, and the capacity to form memories exists in organisms that are much lower on the evolutionary tree than a human infant. Once I accepted that birth is obviously a major psychotrauma, it was more difficult for me to understand that mainstream clinicians and academicians are not able to see it. In my later years of psychedelic research, my interest shifted to phenomena whose existence was much more intellectually challenging to embrace, because it was not possible to find any material substrate for them. This included ancestral and phylogenetic memories, past life experiences, experiential identification with animals and plants, historical and archetypal domains of the collective unconscious, synchronicities, cosmic consciousness, and higher creativity. In this new understanding, birth lost its dominant role, and the primary emphasis shifted to archetypal dynamics. The basic perinatal matrices, BPMs, experiential patterns governing the reliving of the stages of biological birth, became themselves specific manifestations and expressions of these archetypal dynamics. This conceptual shift also made it possible to connect my new conceptual framework to archetypal astrology, as developed by Richard Tarnas and his colleagues. The alliance between these two disciplines brought clarity and refinement to the understanding of psychedelic and holotropic breathwork experiences, as well as episodes of spiritual emergency, which was previously impossible to achieve. In writing this encyclopedia, I thought it was important to describe all the phenomena I have studied the way I see them now. The second catalyzing situation for this book was the rapidly approaching 75th anniversary of Albert Hofmann's epoch-making discovery of LSD. It is a good time to reflect on what LSD has brought to the world and how it changed the understanding of consciousness and the human psyche. No other substance has ever brought such great promise in so many different disciplines. However, drastic, irrational legislation ended what was considered the golden era of psychopharmacology and turned Albert's wonder child into a problem child. After several decades, during which legal research into psychedelics was virtually impossible, we are now experiencing an unexpected global renaissance of interest in these fascinating substances. It is becoming increasingly clear that LSD was a wonder child, but it was born into a dysfunctional family. In the interim period, the common practice of passing experience and knowledge from generation to generation was interrupted for many decades, and the early pioneers of the 1950s and 1960s are rapidly disappearing from the stage due to age and death. At present, many new research projects with psychedelics and entheogens are being initiated, and new generations of young therapists are appearing on the scene. I felt that they could benefit from the information amassed by those of us who had the opportunity to conduct research during the time when psychedelics were legal, and by those who found legal loopholes and continued their research underground. I hope that we are on the way to fulfill Albert's dream of a new Eleusis, a future when the legal use of psychedelics will be woven into the fabric of modern society for the benefit of humanity. The third and most immediate impetus for my writing was the invitation from Stephen Dynan, Chief Executive Director of Shift Network, to create an 8-week telecourse, Psychology of the Future. The telecourse had a good turnout, more than 600 viewers, which prompted Stephen to ask me for a follow-up in an advanced 24-week course that we decided to call The Way of the Psychonaut. I accepted his offer with some reluctance and deliberation. It was a tall order to follow an 8-week course with an additional 24 modules without many repetitions. But it was also an opportunity to take a look at my early writings and see where I would modify or refine my original formulations. I also had to explore some areas which I had not yet addressed in the past, or which I had not yet given the attention they deserve. My wife Brigitte, who was watching the telecourses, strongly encouraged me to make the information in them available in book form. She also suggested that I conceive this work as an encyclopedia, in which people interested in inner journeys would find all the relevant information, without having to look for it in various books or on the internet. When I decided to write the current work, I had several goals in mind. I wanted to provide, in a concise and comprehensive form, the information that the new therapists beginning to conduct psychedelic sessions, their clients, and people embarking on their own inner journeys would need or would find useful. I decided to include in this work the paradigm-breaking observations from the research of holotropic states of consciousness that make mainstream concepts of consciousness and the human psyche obsolete and indicate an urgent need for radical revision. I've also suggested the changes in psychiatric theory and practice that would be necessary to integrate these anomalous phenomena into the main body of psychological knowledge. This would provide psychiatrists with a better and deeper understanding of emotional and psychosomatic disorders and more effective methods of treating them. The first section of this encyclopedia describes the history of psychonautics, defined as the systematic pursuit and use of holotropic states of consciousness for healing, self-exploration, spiritual, philosophical, and scientific quest, ritual activity, and artistic inspiration. The craving for transcendental experiences, the motivating force behind psychonautics, is the strongest drive in the human psyche. its pursuit can be traced back to the dawn of human history, to shamans of the Paleolithic era. It continued throughout the centuries in the high cultures of antiquity, in the ancient mysteries of death and rebirth, in rites of passage, and in healing ceremonies and other tribal events of native cultures. Great religions of the world developed their own technologies of the sacred, methods of inducing spiritual experiences used in monasteries and their mystical branches. The modern era of psychonautics started at the beginning of the 20th century with Arthur Hefter's isolation of mescaline from peyote, followed by the isolation of ibogaine from the African bush Tabernanthe iboga, and the harmaline from the Syrian herb Paganum harmala. Clinical experiments with mescaline were carried out in the first three decades of the 20th century. The golden era of psychonautics started in 1943 with Albert Hofmann's discovery of the psychedelic effects of LSD-25. His chemical tour de force then continued with the isolation of psilocybin and psilocin, the active alkaloids from the magic mushrooms of the Mazatec Indians, and of monoamide of lysergic acid, LAE-32, from morning glory seeds, Ololiuki. These new psychoactive substances inspired an avalanche of laboratory and clinical studies. When it seemed that a major consciousness revolution was underway, it was abruptly terminated by ignorant legal and administrative measures. The four decades when virtually no legal research with psychedelics was possible actually became an important chapter in psychonautics, thanks to semi-legal and illegal research and experimentation that produced and explored a rich array of entheogens, derivatives, phenethylamine, and tryptamine. In the atmosphere of the present renaissance of psychedelic research, the information generated by these informal studies might provide inspiration for legal-controlled studies, as has already happened with MDMA. Hopefully, we are experiencing the dawn of another exciting era of psychonautics. The following section of this encyclopedia focuses on the observations and experiences from the research of holotropic states that indicate an urgent need for a radical revision of some basic assumptions of mainstream psychiatry and psychology. It also suggests the areas in which these changes are needed and describes their nature. There is overwhelming evidence that consciousness is not the product of the human brain, but a basic aspect of existence. The brain mediates consciousness, but does not generate it. The human psyche is also not limited to postnatal biography and the Freudian individual unconscious. It contains two additional domains that are of critical importance: the perinatal layer, closely related to the trauma of biological birth, and the transpersonal layer, which is the source of experiences which transcend the limitations of space, time, and the range of our physical senses. The next area that requires important revision is the origin and nature of emotional and psychosomatic disorders that are psychogenic in nature, have no biological basis. Many of these do not originate in infancy and childhood. They have additional deeper roots that reach to the perinatal and transpersonal levels. On the positive side, therapeutic interventions on the level of postnatal biography do not represent the only opportunity for improving the clinical condition. Powerful mechanisms for healing and positive personality transformation become available when the regression in holotropic states reaches the perinatal and transpersonal levels. Another suggestion for a radical change of perspective in psychiatry involves the attitude towards spirituality. In view of the observations from holotropic states, spirituality is not an indication of superstition, primitive magical thinking, lack of scientific knowledge, or a mental illness, as it is viewed by materialistic science. It is a legitimate dimension of the human psyche and of the universal order. When age regression in holotropic states reaches the perinatal and transpersonal levels, the experiences assume a new quality, which C.G. Jung called numinosity. It is a direct aperception of the extraordinary, otherworldly nature of what is being experienced. The most interesting insights from holotropic states are those concerning the strategy of therapy. There exists a large number of schools of psychotherapy, which disagree with each other in regard to some fundamental aspects of theory and therapy. As a result, representatives of different schools disagree about the relevance of various issues and interpret the same situations differently. The work with holotropic states resolves this dilemma by offering a radical alternative. Entering these states activates an inner self-healing intelligence, which automatically guides the process to unconscious material that has a strong emotional charge and is close to the threshold of consciousness. It then spontaneously brings this material to the surface for processing. The third section of this volume presents a review of the most important maps of the psyche, created by the founders of various schools of depth psychology. Its father, Sigmund Freud, the famous renegades Alfred Adler, Otto Rank, Wilhelm Reich, and Carl Gustav Jung, and Sandor Ferenczi. It examines the teachings of these schools, using the lens of observations from the research of holotropic states of consciousness, and determines which of these pioneers' ideas were confirmed and which have to be modified, complemented, or discarded. This review showed that each of these pioneers focused on a certain limited band of the vast spectrum of experiences that the human psyche can manifest and then described in an adequate way its particular phenomenology and dynamics. The problem was that each of them seemed to be blind to the bands of the spectrum studied and emphasized by the others, and reduced them to his own model and way of thinking. Thus, Freud specialized in postnatal biography, and with one small and short exception, ignored the perinatal domain, and reduced mythology and psychic phenomena to biology. Rank recognized the paramount significance of the birth trauma, but reduced archetypal phenomena to derivatives of birth. Jung, who recognized and correctly described the vast domain of the collective unconscious, emphatically denied that biological birth had any psychological significance. This historical analysis made it clear that the safe navigation of alternate realities requires an extended cartography of the psyche, a model that includes and integrates the biographical, perinatal, and transpersonal levels. The fourth section of this volume brings a radically new understanding of emotional and psychosomatic disorders, which becomes available as soon as we expand our understanding of the psyche by adding the perinatal and transpersonal dimensions. It becomes clear that Freud and his followers were on the right track when they were trying to trace the roots of emotional disorders to their origins in early childhood. But they did not look deep enough and missed the perinatal and transpersonal roots of psychoneuroses, sexual problems, depression, suicide, and particularly psychoses. The experiential patterns associated with reliving the consecutive stages of birth, basic perinatal matrices, or BPMs, provide logical and natural templates for symptoms and the way that symptoms cluster into syndromes. The fact that at the core of emotional disorders is the birth trauma, a process of life and death, explains the intensity and depth that otherwise would be incomprehensible. extremes of human behavior, unbridled violence leading to brutal murder and violent suicide, have to have a source that is of comparable intensity and relevance. The Freudian approach to psychopathology, although going in the right direction, was unconvincing and at times even absurd and ludicrous. Mainstream psychiatrists responding to the situation threw out the baby with the bathwater. They responded by giving up looking for believable causes of emotional disorders in people's early history, and replaced it with neo-Kraepelinian approach, which involves mere descriptions of symptoms without etiological considerations. Introducing the perinatal domain into the cartography of the psyche also resolves the conflict between psychiatrists who prefer biological explanations for emotional problems and those who emphasize psychological influences. Birth is a powerful and complex process that involves emotions and physical sensations of extreme intensity in an inextricable amalgam. Postnatal experiences can then accentuate one aspect or other of this hybrid, but on a deeper level, they represent two sides of the same coin. The participation of the transpersonal dimension in psychopathology and its interaction with the perinatal level can then explain phenomena that link spirituality and violence together, such as flagellantism or a combination of murder and suicide with a religious goal. The section on the architecture of emotional and psychosomatic disorders reviews a wide range of emotional disorders: Freud's classical psychoneuroses, phobias, conversion hysteria, and obsessive-compulsive neurosis, depression, suicidal behavior, sexual dysfunctions and deviations, psychosomatic diseases, and functional psychoses. My goal is to show how many aspects of their characteristic symptomatology can be explained from a combination of biographical, perinatal, and transpersonal elements. This new understanding also has important implications for the therapy for these conditions. The fifth section of this encyclopedia discusses what is probably the most important implication of the work with holotropic states of consciousness and of the extended cartography of the psyche: the concept of transpersonal crisis or spiritual emergency. On the basis of our experiences with psychedelic therapy and holotropic breathwork, my late wife Christina and I became interested in a large and important group of spontaneous holotropic experiences that mainstream psychiatry diagnoses and treats as manifestations of serious mental diseases or psychoses. We discovered that if these conditions are correctly understood and properly supported, they have extraordinary therapeutic, transformative, heuristic, and even evolutionary potential. In this section, I describe the phenomenology, the triggers, the differential diagnosis, and the therapy for these conditions. I also briefly discuss the various forms that spiritual emergency takes, such as shamanic initiatory crisis, the activation of Kundalini, Abraham Maslow's peak experience, John Perry's renewal process by descent to the central archetype, problems with past life memories, crisis of psychic opening, possession states, and more. The sixth and last section of this book focuses on holotropic breathwork, an innovative experiential form of psychotherapy that my late wife Christina and I developed when we lived at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. This approach induces powerful holotropic states of consciousness by very simple means: a combination of accelerated breathing, evocative music, and releasing bodywork in a special setting. Participants work in pairs, alternating in the roles of breathers and sitters. Following the sessions, participants paint mandalas, reflecting what they have experienced. They then meet in small groups, sharing and processing what transpired in the sessions. Holotropic breathwork combines the basic principles of depth psychology with elements from shamanism, rites of passage, the great spiritual philosophies of the East, and the mystical traditions of the world. Its theory is formulated in modern psychological language and is grounded in transpersonal psychology and in new paradigm science. After describing the healing power of breath, the therapeutic potential of music, and the use of releasing and supportive physical interventions, this section describes the setting and preparation for the sessions, the roles of the breathers and the sitters, the phenomenology of the experience, the painting of the mandalas, and the processing in the sharing groups. Special attention is given to the discussion of the therapeutic results and the follow-up periods after the sessions. I wrote the first volume of this encyclopedia and the one that follows with the hope that they will become useful guides for psychonauts, bringing some useful retrospective insights into the experiences they have already had on their past journeys, or providing the basic information necessary for safe and productive journeys into alternate realities for those who are about to embark on the exciting adventures of discovery and self-discovery. Bon voyage! Stanislav Grof, MD, PhD, Mill Valley, California, March 2018.